Hello, it's Thursday, April the 22nd, and trust that you're having a wonderful day. Fun Facts Friday will return tomorrow, and I have no idea what that is because we haven't recorded it yet. But we're in the second half of the eighth chapter of Isaiah. The seventh chapter, you remember, was about Ahaz, and Ahaz's concern with his foreign policy wonks that he's dealing with, about Syria and Israel to the south and north, and they've made an alliance, and he hits the panic button and looks to Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, and eventually, in the beginning of this chapter, Assyria comes and deals with Damascus and Samaria to the north, but now has eyes on Judah. And there's a temporary sense of glee and ecstasy on the part of the people of Judah, but they are short-sighted and committing the same lack of faith that King Ahaz had shown. And now, if Syria and Israel have been dealt a blow and Judah now will come within an inch of its life, what happens to God's true people? And you see it there in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 8. Be broken, you peoples, and be scattered. Give ear, all you far countries. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Strap on your armor and be shattered. Take counsel together, but it'll come to nothing. Speak a word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. And that's Emmanuel again, of course. The Emmanuel principle, the promise of Emmanuel in the previous chapter. Defeat may come. The war machine that is Assyria, the mighty empire of Assyria, and it was the greatest threat in the whole history of the Old Testament, far greater, I think, than the threat of Greece, or for that matter, the threat of Rome. Israel fared fairly well during the Roman Empire. But the Assyrian Empire was a war machine. And was their faith, the faith of the remnant, the faith of the remnant that says God is with us, Emmanuel is with us, fear God and wait for the Lord will be the second half of chapter 8, and we'll have to wait until next Monday to look at that. I want to pause and park here in verse 10. This prophetic cry of the remnant of Judah saying to the war machine of Assyria, God is with us. And you have to go into the future, 30 years or so into the future. It's recorded for us in Isaiah 36 and 37, Sennacherib, Tiglath-Pileser is now gone, and Sennacherib is the successor of Tiglath-Pileser as the king of Assyria, and he invades Judah. 46 of their town cities are destroyed, walled cities at that. So their defense mechanism is pitiable in the face of Assyria. And you remember Sennacherib sends a letter, threatens Jerusalem, and Hezekiah, who's now the king, takes that into the temple, the letter, and spreads it out before the Lord as an act of prayer for God's intervention. And Hezekiah was a much, much better king than Ahaz ever was. And you remember 185,000 Assyrian soldiers died in their sleeping beds, in their tents that night. The angel of the Lord slew them. Now, it's very interesting that there's no record of that in the Sennacherib accounts of his battles. Why would he? Why would he record that one of the greatest military losses of all time had taken place in one night, and the Syrian soldiers never even lifted a sword. Why would you even record that? But Scripture records it. Isaiah records it. And it's a testimony to the grace of God and the Emmanuel principle that great David's greater son will indeed sit on a throne one day. Well, that's the evangelical prophet Isaiah speaking to Judah. He's got a little more to say to Judah. And then we'll turn our attention to what he has to say to Israel in the north. That's it for this week in terms of devotionals. Fun Facts Friday tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.